The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We bossing up in Michigan. We voting now more than ever and giving the people what they want.
We start the show with some breaking news. If the people want to watch Thursday Night Football, it might be in jeopardy. After a wave of injuries, the 49ers have now shut down their practice facility due to some positive COVID-19 tests. Our thoughts and prayers are with all of the 49ers staff and players as they deal with this very difficult season. But Jalen, we've seen half of the NFL season, and I have figured it out. There are only four teams in the NFL that matters. I look forward to you disagreeing with me about this, and there are two in the AFC, two in the NFC. There are only four Super Bowl contenders in my mind, and they are the Chiefs and the Steelers in the AFC, the Bucks and the Seahawks in the NFC. Let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs. It seems like it was 14 years ago, but they won the Super Bowl in 2020 against those 49ers that we are discussing. Why do you think the Chiefs could repeat as Super Bowl champions?
First, you start with Patrick Mahomes, who's been outstanding. And it seems like they're able to pace him, Jacoby. 21 touchdowns, only one interception, spreading the football around to multiple targets. The rookie running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, has been outstanding out of the backfield. You add Le'Veon Bell, Eric Bieniemy is terrific as an offensive coordinator and deserves a head coaching job. The Honey Badger and that opportunistic defense continues to make plays. Kansas City Chiefs have distinguished themselves as the clear best team in football.
And their foe, in my mind, to compete for the AFC championship is the Steelers. The Chiefs win pretty. The Steelers win ugly, but they win and win and win. They are undefeated, yet I don't think a single person on this planet thinks they are the best team in football, but it starts with their defense. What have they done with their defense that has been so strong?
Blitzburg. It's always going to be about that pass rush. It's always going to be timely plays on the back end. Minka Fitzpatrick has been outstanding for them. Watt on the front end. And then offensively, Big Ben in that receiving core, making plays. Claypool as a rookie has been outstanding. The Pittsburgh Steelers have an identity, and it's led by Mike Tomlin. They're going to play physical. They're going to get after the quarterback, and they want to limit their turnovers. This is who they've always tried to be.
Absolutely. And when you talk about that receiving core, they've got Juju Smith-Schuster, who's a star. And then Claypool comes out of nowhere. And then Johnson and Washington's making catches. Their receiving core is one of the things that supports that defense. But like I said, they win ugly. Now let's look at the NFC. And there's a team that is close to the top of the heap in the NFL, led by Tom Brady. Of course, I'm talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jalen, what do they do on offense and defense that makes them one of these four teams contending for a Super Bowl?
Todd Bowles and that defense has been outstanding. Last season, however, they were turning the ball over. Now that they're not doing that, the pass rush can get there. And now when they're able to create turnovers, the offense has a plethora of weapons led by Tom Brady under center. He now has found his rhythm again with Gronk, who missed football last year. Evans becomes more of a factor. They were performing in the previous game without Godwin, and now they're going to get Antonio Brown to go with Fournette in the backfield, to go with Ronald Jones III. So they are loaded. They are trying to become the Chiefs of the NFC. And I know you mentioned four teams are contending squads, and it feels like breaking news, but I got to tell you a secret. After 50% of the season in any sport, there are only like three or four teams that can actually win it. So, yes, in the AFC, we're going to put some respect on the Ravens' name. No doubt about it. They did lose their left tackle. Lamar hasn't been as accurate this year as he was last year. However, when you have Humphrey in that back end, and that physical defense, you got to get a Ravens a shot. We're not going to mention him as one of the four teams right now where you didn't, but they are going to be a team that has something to say about who wins it all.
There are also some people watching in Wisconsin that are very upset with these four teams that I've identified as Super Bowl contenders. But I do want to say this about the Buccaneers is you talk about Fournette and adding Brown and Evans and Brady and all those stars they have on offense. But it is White and David on defense that really anchors that defense and keeps the other team from scoring.
Yeah.
And one thing I love about White and David is not only are they the best linebacker duo in the league, they're also two words that you would use to describe me, White and David. Now, there's one team that we have not mentioned, and that is the MVP front runner at this moment, Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Jalen, why are the Seahawks included in this list of four teams that need to be considered as Super Bowl contenders?
And now in the NFC, I'm going to give the Saints their hat tip like you did with the Packers. Because of Russell Wilson, he's been outstanding on a record-breaking mission after eight games, throwing touchdown passes to Lockett the Rocket. And also, you got Metcalf on the outside, whether it's doing hustle plays like tracking down a defender, stopping a touchdown, or getting open and catching for 160 yards and two TDs in the previous game. If Carson can stay healthy and underrated back in the league, and we know about Pete Carroll's leadership to go with Russell Wilson, the Seahawks have built something special, and they will be one of those teams in the NFC that's going to be a tough out.
I'm really glad that you mentioned the Saints because there's something going on with the Saints that people aren't really talking about. And I can't help but notice that Michael Thomas is not playing football on Sundays. And if you look at this full screen, which our director Alex is about to put up, there's a timeline of events that have happened with Michael Thompson that have led to him not playing that I need you to see through these words and tell me what's really going on in that locker room.
So one of the things about getting a big deal in the offseason like Michael Thomas did and breaking receptions records like he did last year, you hope that that momentum is going to carry to this season. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. You see the reaction to Drew Brees and not seeing eye to eye on social and political issues. And then you have an ankle injury. Then you have a hamstring injury. Then you punch a teammate. It just seems like the Saints will not make their Super Bowl contending run clearly without their elite all-pro receiver. So we must see him on the field constantly if you're going to put him amongst your top four teams that can actually be legitimate contenders.
Because it seems to me, now listen, I'm not a doctor. I have no idea what his current health status is, but it feels like there's something more to this story than he tweaked a hamstring in practice and isn't playing. It sounds like that. As someone who's been covering sports for 20 years, there's sort of in between the lines, it feels like there might be something going on. So we will keep an eye on that story. Now, again, we didn't mention the Saints about one of our top four teams contending for Super Bowl. We also didn't mention the Packers. The Packers were a team that we kind of expected to pick up another offensive weapon yesterday at the trade deadline. They did not. Now, the Packers are in the division with the Lions, so I know you keep a close eye on them. And when we on the production call mentioned that they didn't add a weapon, you sort of rejected this idea. Why is that, Mr. Rose?
So if you can't have these elite Super Bowl level success of the Patriots and mortgage a lot of your decisions like Bill Belichick talked about and winning a couple of those Super Bowls, I always applauded teams that had identities. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they're going to be physical. They're going to play defense. And in our division, the Green Bay Packers always made sure they kept a Hall of Fame quarterback and built their team around him. And what they never have done is taking wide receivers in the first round because they figure, of course, they're going to be special elite players that are exceptions to the rule, but they found a Devontae Adams in the second round. And when we say that they need weapons, he's a top five performer. Aaron Jones is a top five performer. They do have a big three in Green Bay. They going to get Lazard back soon, who was playing well earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. And when Rodgers was spreading the football around, we weren't talking about that. Their offense ain't the issue. It's their run defense. That's the issue. Remember last year in the NFC Championship when San Francisco ran all over them and Jimmy G probably threw the ball 10 times? Well, last week, Dalvin Cook have how many touchdowns? One, two, three, oh, four. That's right, four touchdowns rushing. Aaron Rodgers does not play defense. If you want to talk about what the Packers need to do, it ain't to add another wide receiver. It's to do something to shore up their run defense.
Yes, they threw a short pass to Dalvin Cook, and it seemed like no one wanted to tackle him. He walked in the end zone looking over both shoulders like, but y'all not going to do this? But we talk about the Packers because if you remember the four teams that we discussed, they've all added top-tier players to bolster the roster for the stretch run. And look at these teams. Five of the teams that we've been talking about as Super Bowl contenders have all added premier players headed into the stretch run. The Packers did not do so. And something tells me the people of Wisconsin are looking at their team, their GM, and their franchise sideways, because when you look at this list, it seems like everyone's getting ready, and the Packers, once again, have not. Jalen, every once in a while, there's a video that appears on the internet or in sports that we need to discuss in detail, so you and I, right now, need to go to the table. Jalen, you had a long career in the NBA, but when it comes to pickup and backyard basketball, that's my specialty. So I want to celebrate this young man that we're about to look at. Now, I'm sure they set this up for us to clown this guy, but I love this guy. Not only does he have the 1996 jean shorts on, but he's got a rack of basketballs. He got a rack, a full rack. Sure, he hit the rim a couple times. But look at this guy, soft mover boss move, posting yourself in jorts, missing jumpers.
It's a boss move that he representing the Fab Five to the fullest with the shorts, even though that they're jeans. And also, usually when people post things that's so doctored that by the time they edit it and cut it, it's like they make it 15 in a row. He's just living his best life. He's socially distancing, and his jumper is as well from the net.
Yeah, he hit one shot, which is almost as many as Ben Simmons has hit in his entire NBA career. Jalen, the Dallas Cowboys don't know who is going to play quarterback for them. We will discuss that and much more.
16. Tuned.
You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose.
Coming to you live near Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, the Dallas Cowboys season has gone from bad to very bad to catastrophic. The latest is that Ben DiNucci is out as the starting quarterback because Andy Dalton is still dealing with concussion issues, and they're deciding between, wait for it, Garrett Gilbert and Cooper Rush to start at quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Jalen, your thoughts on what Mike McCarthy should do with this position?
In a lot of ways, the Cowboys represent the anti-Patriots, and this season is a microcosm of two franchises. One calls itself America's team, but hasn't won championships since the early 90s. And you know how much I love Jimmy Johnson. That is my guy. Still not in the Ring of Honor, by the way. And then the Patriots, who are struggling this season, but they can pull the plug and they can tank and rebuild. However, when you're the Cowboys, you already invested in the guys that's playing every week. Zeke, Lawrence, who's been balling this year. And so your defense is bad, your offense is bad, and all of these people like Amari Cooper are still under contract. So now you look at your NFC East race and you're like, well, if we win seven games, we could probably still make the playoffs. So therefore, they have no problems trotting out Cooper Rush or Garrett Gilbert to play quarterback. And it almost becomes a disrespect to the game. It really does.
Well, Jalen, one thing I'm going to say that no one's going to say in the media is that I'm Gilbert or Rush. I'm not sure I want to start this game. We're going up against the Steelers. You've got Dupree. You've got Watt. You've got Blitzberg. Like, I think there's a part of each of them that's like, yeah, I'm actually fine with being the backup this week. There's a part of Ben DiNucci that's like, you know what? I'm good with not starting against the Steelers. So the Cowboys have zero starting quarterbacks, and now we'll discuss a team that actually has two starting quarterbacks, the Miami Dolphins. They made the decision to start Tua Tagovailoa over Fitzpatrick. And here's the thing about that decision, which we just learned, is actually tied to the Texans. And let me explain why. The Dolphins have the Texans' first round pick. The Texans have one win. If they continue to play poorly and go 1-15, 2-14, that means that's going to be a very high pick. And in a quarterback class that is stacked with three or four potentially starting quarterbacks, the Dolphins are putting Tua out there to essentially earn the job, to audition for the spot. What do you think about this decision by Miami?
I disagree with that ideology, because when you draft Tua knowing that he was coming off a hip injury and might not play earlier in the year unless he was healthy and he showed that he was ready in practice, you knew that you had to be patient this season. You're not going to rush his development when you just took him as high as you did and worry about who's coming out next year's draft. You have your guy, you hope. Now you use that pick to add weapons to go with them. That's how you handle that. And for the Texans, I told you how this was going to play out, dog. I told you. D-Hop had to leave to get paid. That's what had to happen. Okay, Deshaun wanted to get paid, of course. Once Bill O'Brien got him the deal, ownership got him out of town. And that's what happened. They still have their quarterback with the Texans, but they're struggling. And so those two picks are going to be valuable for the Miami Dolphins.
Absolutely. And there's a saying that I adhere to: never leave a good party for a great party. You're trying to tell me that you're looking to get someone who's a better quarterback prospect than Tua Tagovailoa? Like, what are you trying
to
do?
You're trying to improve upon Tua?
Like, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, I would say, is a better quarterback prospect, but you have Tua. Tua has put it on tape. He is a good quarterback. You should start him. I agree you should start him, but start him to develop him for next year. And
that's what they're going to do.
I love Brian Flores. I love Brian Flores as the head coach in the NFL. But when he started Tua, he said he started Tua because of what he was doing in practice and what he's shown him. And the idea that we're now learning that it's kind of like he's auditioning for the job is just a little backwards to me. We'll keep an eye on this story. But another thing that we need to discuss is this. You remember when Mav Carter said that LeBron James spends $1 million a year on his health and his body and his nutrition? And I think that once LeBron said that, all other athletes started following that up, because now Russell Wilson is the latest to say that he spends $1 million a year, and he was talking to the Podfather, and he said this, on his body recovery and health. Jalen, how could you possibly spend $1 million a year on like hyperbolic chambers and private shows?
So, of course, there are exceptions to every rule, Jacoby, and there are unconventional paths to success, in particular in professional sports, because everybody shoots for the moon and you hope to fall amongst the stars and accomplish that dream. There was a time when your effort, getting to the court early, staying late, getting in the weight room and things of that nature and grit were also things that propelled you against your peers. Now, the privilege of having means and being able to pay for nutritionists and physical therapists and all of the things that help propel an athlete, and now the specialization of the game, that now works to the benefit of the player. Again, back in the day, athletes worked out. These dudes are training. So you're making an investment, if you're Russell Wilson, in your body in order to cash those $100 million checks down the line, and plus put you in a position to be able to get those checks for a very long time when you see guys like Tom Brady and Drew Brees now playing football into their 40s.
I just want to know how much these hyperbolic chambers cost. Like, how much are they? Do they cost $1 million? Because I just don't know how it adds up to $1 million. He said he's got two private chefs. That's what, $400,000 a year? And then a hyperbolic chamber, are they $300,000 apiece? Jalen, it's time for one of our signature segments, Soft Move or Boss Move. Minnesota football head coach PJ Fleck has done something unthinkable. Right after Halloween, he's already gone to the Christmas decorations. My thoughts are this is a soft move. Jalen, soft move or boss move? Early November, Christmas decorations.
This is a look at me soft move. Like, this, those are the only people that do stuff like this. Like, not right now. It's not even Thanksgiving. That's a look at me moment. That's a talk about me type of thing. How do you feel? That's how I feel.
Here's how I feel is you don't disrespect the great holiday of Thanksgiving like this. Let's not disrespect mashed potatoes. Let's not disrespect mac and cheese and collard greens. Like, you can decorate after Halloween, but you start decorating for Thanksgiving. Come on, PJ Fleck. Don't forget the great holiday of Thanksgiving. When we come back, we will talk about a man who bought an entire city beers. Find out who that is right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
The Mac is back tonight at 7 p.m. on the ESPN networks. We have a triple header for you. Make sure to tune into that. Watch the Mac. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, I famously never do anything for the staff of this program, but you buy people lunch, you buy people breakfast, you buy people beverages. And John Lester, formerly of the Chicago Cubs, did not have his option picked up. And what did he do? He bought the entire city of Chicago beers, and he posted the receipts online, $47,000 worth of beer for the beer-loving city of Chicago. Your thoughts on this gesture from John Lester?
I think it's a thoughtful gesture to the fans, especially for the Cubs, who are considered some of the best in the history of baseball. Cost them $47,000. I wish I would have got a couple of them brews.
Absolutely. And while he appreciates the city of Chicago, we appreciate our producer, Allison Porter. She is no longer going to be working on the show. She's worked with us through the pandemic. She sacrificed so much time and effort. We really appreciate her. She's upgrading to work with Kerry Champion and Jamel Hill, a much better duo than us. We will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. on ESPN. We always say we give the people what they want, and today we have an abbreviated version of our podcast exclusive content, and I was fully content to just let the TV show audio be the podcast, but then Jalen Anthony Rose, always giving the people what they want, said that's not enough. That's not enough. We have to do the podcast exclusive. You're just a better person than I am, Jalen. You're just a better person than me. That's how it goes.
And also, I want to make sure that I just give a shout out to the citizens of the United States of America, because I believe as many people this year have voted in X amount of years, and to be from Michigan representing the city of Detroit, our state personally is considered a swing state. And regardless of who you willing to vote for, more people have voted than ever before. There have been more absentee ballots in the state of Michigan than ever before. And it shows mobilization, like more than the vote led by LeBron James and so many other people, Jocelyn Benson in the state of Michigan, and so many countless people across the country to not only get the word out, but for citizens to step up and actually count their votes and let their voices be heard.
Absolutely. And we stay neutral here on Jalen and Jacoby as much as we can. But I will say this, that whether or not the president, future president that you supported ends up winning the election or what happens in the future, I want to make sure that everyone stays safe and is responsible with their actions in the wake of this historic event. We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is hearing from the people. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave a voicemail. We are doing this show under unique conditions, and let's see if our director, Alex, has a voicemail to play.
Yo, what up, though? It's Cole from Pittsburgh. Shout out, Reg. I got some
relationship advice I need from y'all. So me and my girl, we've been in an argument, like an ongoing argument, about the future. I'm 20 years old. She's 20 years old. And she wants me to, like, be sure that I want to, like, spend a significant amount of my future with her. Like, the rest, like, I don't know if she wants the rest of my life or what, but she wants me to commit to, like, saying, yeah, after college, you know, after grad school, whatever, like, we're gonna be in this. And I'm of the mindset, I'm like, I don't know what's gonna happen. You know, I'm too young to be put in a relationship before my career development and, you know, just me in general. So what y'all think? Do you think she's leaning towards the right side of the argument, or do you think I'm leaning towards the right side of the argument? Let me know. Keep doing what y'all are doing. I'm a longtime fan. Appreciate y'all.
Oh, Jalen, I got this one. I got this one. I know what to do, Cole. You just say you're all in. You're all in until you're out. It's like Joe Judge saying that Daniel Jones is the quarterback of the New York Giants. You just say it until it's not true anymore. At some point, listen, Cole, she might be the one. You might spend the rest of your life. You might have the next 70 years of your lives together. That might be the case. Unlikely, though. So you just act like that's the case. You just say, yes, I'm with you. We're together forever. We're going to have kids. We're going to grow old together. We're going to die together. We're going to have gravestones next to each other. And then if you feel like that's not going to be the case anymore, then you spring the news on her, or she springs the news on you. That's my advice. Fake it till you make it. Act like you're committed, even if you're not committed. That's my advice, Jalen. You're a better person than me, so you've probably got some better advice.
Don't listen to David Jacoby. Do not take that advice, dog. Because the one thing you never want to truly do is purposely mislead somebody. You purposely don't want to mislead someone. But here's what I'll say. Love has no limit or age. And here's what I'll say to you. Just because you're 20, that don't mean you too young to be in a committed relationship. And this is how you know. How would you feel if she got with somebody else? See, so many times we start to think about ourselves and my career and what you have going on and how young you are. But how would you feel if all of a sudden you start looking at social and she just start liking and following random people? Like, okay, I want to live my life too. You know?
That's a great piece of advice, Jalen.
You wouldn't like that. And it will stop y'all probably from getting from 20 years of age together to 21 years of age. I say enjoy today. And if you really love her, make sure you do what you can to keep her.
Thank you so much for the call, Cole. Appreciate you in Pittsburgh. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done. Yeah.